Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, folks. It's nice to have you back with us here on Close Up Talk Radio. Today, we're going to continue a discussion that began here on Close Up a week ago, getting help for people who are known as COVID long haulers. And we're going to be discussing this with a new coach and a resource for the road to recovery. I love doing shows like this and talking to the guests we have because we learn as well as teach our audience a lot of things. I am not familiar with long COVID. In fact, I don't have a clue what long COVID. Well, I do have a clue, but anyway, I'm not familiar with long COVID. Many people, everybody knows what COVID is. We've been living with it for 2.5 years, but we're going to find out about it now with our guest Sally Riggs, who is a psychologist and a polyvagal coach who helps COVID long haulers. Those are people suffering with long COVID. Here again, long COVID. She helps people understand how to navigate the different states of their nervous system and to improve vaginal flexibility and tone. And once they can do that, long haulers can spend a lot more time in a rest and digest state so that their body can start the healing process and ultimately enhance physical and mental health. So if you think this long COVID is just plain COVID, obviously there's a big difference. And it's a real delight for us to welcome Sally Riggs back with us. Sally's based in New York. Sally, welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you back today.
How are you? Thank you so much, Doug. I'm doing well today. Thank you.
Well, I am going to learn something, and I know many of our listeners are going to learn something as well. Would you please give me a definition of long COVID? What is it?
Yes. Absolutely. So I really love the definition that the folks at Mount Sinai Abilities Research Center are using because it really gives us a sense of what we're talking about. So it's a condition in which a subset of patients infected with COVID develop a wide range of debilitating chronic symptoms that do not resolve even years later. So you mentioned that we all know what COVID is. Hopefully at this point we all know what COVID is. Many, many, many of us have had COVID. This is a subset of people who get COVID and then don't get better and also develop additional, much more complicated things. So I also am a long hauler. I have long COVID and my acute infection was relatively mild. What I've experienced as part of long COVID is quite different and definitely debilitating and chronic. We think, and it's tough with the numbers because we're still figuring out the numbers thing in the US, who's had COVID, who's got long COVID, but we think about 10 to 20% of people who have acute COVID go on to get long COVID. And right now, although these numbers were probably about a month ago, so probably the numbers have gone up a little bit, in America, we're looking at 25 million people who've got long COVID.
Wow.
And worldwide, right, exactly. Worldwide, it's about 150 million. And even more crucial and why this is, you know, so relevant that we're talking about this today, this number has doubled in the last 12 months. And that's
really?
Partly because,
wow.
Yes, the risk for long COVID goes up with repeated infections because there's something about the viral load, and when you get it again, you get more viral load in your body, which increases your risk. So essentially, it's a multi-organ system disorder that's affecting pretty much every part of the body, but the key ones we think about, brain, heart, lungs, nervous system. And there's three key symptoms that people think of. One is chronic fatigue, which isn't just, oh gosh, I'm a bit exhausted from everything, but is actually just such a heaviness and fatigue in your body that you can barely get out of bed, barely get through the shower, barely make food, really debilitating. The next one is brain fog, which is much talked about in the context of COVID, and many people have brain fog even for a couple of months after acute COVID. People with long COVID all have brain fog, and really I actually use the term brain damage because sometimes brain fog sounds like, you know, oh gosh, I've got a bit of a nasty hangover and I can't really, you know, form my brain into what I want it to do. But this is a bit more serious than that, you know, and involves, I have found the remote control from my television in the freezer, for example.
Right.
So it's kind of like a dementia, I suppose, that, you know, people have different deficits, but it's quite debilitating. And the third one is this thing called post-exertion malaise, which sometimes people shorten to PEM or PEM, which again, I'm a runner, and this sounds like, oh gosh, you know, you've been for a 20-mile run and you are a bit tired and you need to lie down. But no, it's more any type of regular simple activity puts the body into a state of shock and you can't function for a couple of weeks. So at my worst, for example, walking to the kitchen in my apartment would crash me out maybe for the rest of the day on the bed or on the couch. Even getting to the kitchen. I don't have a huge apartment. I live in New York, so it's not that many steps from my bedroom to my kitchen. But going there and coming back would be enough to knock me out, and that's what we mean by post-exertion malaise. Please.
Go ahead. Don't mean to interrupt you, but I was going to ask you, how long were you really, you know, seriously affected by long COVID? How long did it bother
you? I got sick in March 2020, and throughout 2020, I was relatively okay, but I wasn't okay. And then I was definitely getting worse and worse and worse and worse throughout that year. By Christmas 2020, I was getting into the chronic fatigue where I was mostly just lying down most of the time. That's all I could really do. Most of 2021 was the same, and I actually got a bit worse. I live by myself, and there was a time where I couldn't really make food. I couldn't really get through the shower. I certainly couldn't wash my hair and then manage to blow dry it afterwards. And that went on until about September of last year, where I started to discover some of these polyvagal interventions that we're going to talk more about. But Doug, I'm just coming up on 33 months and I'm not completely recovered. I'd say that I'm about 90-95% on a good day, but I still cannot go for a run. And, you know, so this is a pretty big, serious thing that we're talking about here.
Well, obviously it sounds really terrible. I was going to ask if is it life-threatening? You know, COVID, a lot of people lost their lives with simple COVID. What about long COVID?
Well, again, I don't want to be a scaremonger, but there are some things that we hear from the doctors about what is possibly going on medically within our bodies. There's a lot of discussion about microclots, and obviously anybody who has clotting is high risk for cardiac events or stroke. So obviously those can both be life-threatening. And then what I do also hear from some of the top doctors and top researchers, that because of the damage that's going on in our bodies, we are also at higher risk for cancers, which obviously, as we know, are also life-threatening. And then I guess an important thing to mention is because of the debilitating nature of this illness, sadly, many, many, many people have taken their own lives through lack of hope and lack of finding support from doctors. So for all of those reasons, obviously, it's crucial to seek help. And it's not the sort of acute risk of death like you might see in acute COVID, but yes, definitely some, you know, serious events can happen that could be life-threatening.
Well, who is most at risk to get long COVID?
Yeah.
Is there a way to tell?
It's a really important question, and there's a couple of things to keep in mind. So looking at the people who have long COVID, we're seeing, and this relates to some of the nervous system and polyvagal stuff that I'll talk a bit about, and I also discussed a little with Jim last week, predominantly women, although it does affect men, particularly women between 35 and 55, particularly women who are very athletic, particularly women who are very driven, type A personalities. So those are things to look out for if you are somebody who fits that category and either you have acute COVID now or you've had it a few times, you could be at risk. Some other things include childhood allergies, childhood asthma, previous post-viral fatigues from another virus in the past, people who've had things like Epstein-Barr or Lyme and had post-viral fatigues from those, and then a couple pre-existing conditions, things like fibromyalgia, Ehlers-Danlos, which is not talked about a great deal, but if you have it, you'll know, irritable bowel syndrome, which, again, is nervous system related. That's what the data is showing these days. But also the thing that we also have to think about, Doug, is that we know that in the U.S. there were communities that were hit harder for COVID, especially in the first wave. And obviously, if you've been in a community and you were hit with COVID, especially several times, even if you're not a woman who's between 35 and 55 and athletic and type A, you could still be at risk due to the viral load and some other stresses that you might be experiencing.
So it's primarily adults, not children, right, to your knowledge, correct?
Well, actually, it can be children, sadly. And obviously, you know, for kiddos to be disabled like this from an illness is doubly heartbreaking. It's lesser numbers. So the risk is smaller, but sadly we do see kids, we do see teens, we do see young adults. So if you're thinking, oh gosh, I don't come into that category, it doesn't mean you can't get it. It just may mean you're slightly lower down the risk. And, you know, if lightning's going to strike you, it's going to strike you. That's the thing, right? We never know.
That's true. Do the COVID vaccinations help at all in preventing this, or don't you?
It doesn't seem to.
Okay.
There is, I mean, just like we're seeing, the vaccines seem to reduce the severity of the illness and reduce the spread. Although obviously they don't stop the spread and they don't stop the illness. So if you're vaccinated, it may be that you would need to have COVID 3 or 4 times before you got long COVID, whereas pre-vax, you might have just had it once and got it. But yeah, sadly, it doesn't seem to totally cut it dead in that respect.
And one other question. When one gets COVID, they kind of have an indication of what it is they have and the kind of symptoms. Is long COVID, do you know right at the outset, this is different, this is long COVID, not just plain COVID?
No. That's the thing. So I had COVID right at the beginning, and I seemed to recover. And I was working full-time even right throughout my acute infection because right at the beginning of the pandemic, I'm a psychologist. Everybody was super anxious. I couldn't possibly let my patients down. And I didn't want them to worry about me either because, you know, that's not fair. So I worked right through and I worked a lot that year. And I was still managing to run and I was, you know, doing social things as much as we were permitted with the rules at the time and, you know, meeting friends for dinner once the restaurants opened up again. And then I did get much, 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 much worse. And obviously last year I barely left my apartment. So it wasn't really an indication that it was coming. Now, some people do find that they just don't recover at all, that they go straight from COVID, and then just COVID seems to never go away, and they're never better, and they never go back to work, and that's clearly long COVID. And I think doctors are being a little bit better now about picking things up and catching people early. In that first wave, we were hit with a barrage of there's nothing wrong with you. We haven't, you know, we're not anticipating that there's going to be this long COVID thing from the medical community. Whereas now, obviously, if you've had COVID and you're a month or two out and you're feeling rotten, hopefully your primary care physician knows something about long COVID and can get you some preliminary tests and treatments.
You know, it's interesting. You are a psychologist, but you are also a, a long hauler COVID coach. How do you coach people who have long COVID? What do you do?
Yes. So this is it's really interesting because yes, this is absolutely a physiological illness, and one of the central things in this physiological illness is the nervous system, and so. This polyvagal coaching that I'm doing, polyvagal is the theory of our autonomic nervous system. And so what we're talking about is sympathetic and parasympathetic, which we sometimes call fight or flight or rest and digest. Most of us have talked about this in high school. It turns out that it's a little bit more complicated than that, and that it also involves a third level, which we sometimes refer to as immobilization or shutdown, and the technical term is dorsal vagal. So what we think is happening for people with long COVID, and this is certainly what I lived, is that the trauma of the virus to the body plus some of the physiological mechanisms that are happening in our bodies puts the body into a permanent state of fight or flight, which is not sustainable in the long term because our bodies are not designed to do that for more than about an hour max. And so then the body shuts down in order to protect itself, the organ system, so they don't get damaged. And that's where the chronic fatigue and some of the other debilitating symptoms come from. So what we're doing with long COVID coaching is helping the person to understand their autonomic nervous system and begin to find strategies to move the body back to rest and digest so that it can begin to do the healing that it needs to do with the medicines that are being prescribed and also with the natural healing process. So that's where we start. And before we start, the first thing we want to do, which most people are doing with any type of coaching, is thinking about the dream life that the person wants to recover to. What do they want to keep? What do they want to get rid of from their old life? So that we can have this beautiful dream life goal in mind that they are working towards. Because when we've been really sick and we've been feeling absolutely awful and we're very hopeless, we want some hope and some inspiration to work towards. Then we're starting to befriend the nervous system and helping the person to get to know their own nervous system. We're all different, and my nervous system is not the same as yours, but most of us haven't really got much of an awareness of our own nervous system, mainly because it's autonomic, i.e. automatic, so it happens in our bodies without us really being aware of it. So in those initial coaching sessions, we're building awareness of the person's nervous system, getting to know the different states and what they experience and what shows up so that they can know the signs of being in the different states, being in rest and digest, being in fight or flight, being in shutdown. Then we slowly start teaching interventions to gently help move between these states. And I say gently because it's complicated, because the new theory of polyvagal nervous system understanding, which Stephen Porges, who is a scientist based at the University of Indiana, He put this forward, and it really suggests that these systems are in a hierarchy. So you've got shutdown at the bottom, fight or flight in the middle, and rest and digest at the top, which means that to get back to rest and digest, you have to go through fight or flight. And fight or flight is not a fun place to be either. And most of us with any type of trauma history, whether that's pre-COVID or actual COVID, which is a trauma to our bodies, when we get into fight or flight, the body just automatically says, uh-oh, and goes straight back to immobilization. So we really have to work in a gentle, supportive way with a practitioner providing this thing called co-regulation, which means that they have to be fully in rest and digest themselves, super warm, super supportive, and metaphorically able to hold the person as they progress, help them stay in sympathetic as long as they can tolerate, to keep going through it so they can get back to rest and digest.
Define rest and digest. That's an interesting term. Rest,
yes.
We all know what rest is, but what do you mean by digest?
Yes. So rest and digest is that parasympathetic state that our bodies are in. If we don't have long COVID and we're not going through any acute stress or trauma, it's where our bodies are in a relatively relaxed state where we're able to be curious, interested in things, have gratitude, self-compassion, acceptance. And it's contrasted with fight or flight or sympathetic, which is when our bodies go into that activated mode. Something happens in our environment that needs us to be in that sort of adrenaline, cortisol, hypervigilant, focused type of a state. And our body has this sort of pre-programmed way of rushing the blood to our organs so that we can do what we need to do and be efficient. But of course, that also feels quite uncomfortable in the body and can include anxiety, panic, fear, nightmares, insomnia, and lots of other things, including GI distress. What I think of when I'm thinking of these two, for a very long time, Doug, I worked as a psychologist on inpatient psych, and anybody that works in the hospital in any type of medical or behavioral health setting, there's a bell that will ring for particular traumas that you need to attend in a certain way. And there's something, the bell goes, and then your body goes into that special mode where you are fully focused and ready to do whatever it is you need to do that's important. And that's fight or flight in a good way, but it can also happen, obviously, in a bad way.
Interesting. This is all very fascinating. I just point out, you're a coach for people who have this. I mean, you are a psychologist, but you're now specializing in helping people who have long COVID. You do this over the phone with them, I presume? That's the primary way you help folks?
We do it on Zoom. So typically, we work together for about 3 to 6 months, and we would meet on Zoom for about 30 minutes once a week or maybe twice a week. What I particularly love about coaching, which is different than being a psychologist, is that we can check in between times, and we use some of those fabulous voice messaging apps where you just press down a button and talk into it and it comes through to you in real time, to keep in touch in between those Zoom sessions so that I can really be there and help people out in the moment as they're working on this stuff.
That's pretty fascinating. Let me point out that you have an amazing website, and if anybody listening is interested and they wanted to get in touch with you, it's pretty simple. Your name is Sally Riggs, and I mean, it's easily spelled, and that's your website, SallyRiggs.com. SallyRiggs.com. If you go there, you'll learn how to get in direct contact with Sally, and obviously she can help you. But who's your ideal coaching client? How would you answer that?
Yeah, so it is primarily women, and of course I do work with men, but because women are more at risk, that means there's more of us that have long COVID. And typically my clients are predominantly driven women, high-achieving, successful women, again, because of those high-risk characteristics. But they're also women who are used to investing in themselves. So they're often, you know, successful in their careers or entrepreneurs and have undergone other professional or personal coaching programs and so are used to doing the work and making that investment both financially and in terms of time and effort. They're also typically women who are open to mind-body interventions. So if you're someone who is 100% convinced that you don't have a role to play in your recovery, then obviously coaching is not going to be for you. Yes, absolutely, this is medical. And yes, absolutely, one of the things that I also do as part of my coaching is if people don't have a great medical team of doctors behind them, we can get them in touch with good doctors because at this point, not just in New York, but I've been working internationally, I have a pretty good sense of where the good doctors are. Yes, this has a mind-body component, and we're going to be using mind-body and polyvagal interventions. So that definitely needs to be somebody who's willing and wanting to work in that way. Interestingly, because people who are driven are so high risk, one of the key interventions that we often look at pretty early on is slowing down, doing less, being okay with things not being perfect, which can be super difficult for those of us who are type A. So whereas a lot of coaching, if you're doing health coaching or sports coaching, it's often about making people work harder. One of the key things with long COVID coaching is actually the opposite of that, that my job is to make you work less in some respects or work differently.
This is all really pretty amazing. And I assume you talked to so many people who've been really knocked out by it like you were for long periods of time, right? I mean, it's a long road back, the way to
put it. It is a long road back. What I am loving right now, Doug, is I started this work in January, and so I have some clients that I started working with in January that I'm still seeing, but less frequently, and those are the ones who are really doing incredibly well, and it makes me so happy to see how they are living the lives they wanted to rebuild just like I am. So that gives you kind of a sense of the time frame of where people are going to see difference, that typically we're working intensively about 3 to 6 months, and then around that 6-month mark is where things really start to flourish and come together, and people really are doing a lot better, thank goodness.
Well, that's so good, and I hope it works out for you that it disappears after before long.
Thank
hopefully.
You. I appreciate
By the way,
that.
Are you running?
Yes.
Are you back to running a little bit yet, or not?
I am up to 95 seconds, which is glorious, and every one of those 95 seconds I enjoy. And I'm also allowed to do 30-second sprints very fast, and I do like doing those, but only like four.
You live in mid-Manhattan. Where do you run? Where do you run?
Usually I'm on the East River. Yeah.
Okay.
Although I do love Central Park, too, but it's been a while since I've made it up to Central Park. Yes.
All righty. Sally, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. Again, your website is sallyrigg.com. Anybody who's listening who is affected by long COVID, it would be a smart move to give Sally a call, at least consult with her website so you can see what's going
Absolutely.
On. Sally, it's been a delight to have you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it. Thanks.
You are more than welcome. All right, everybody, that's it for today. I hope you've learned something. I know I did. I never heard of long COVID before. Now I know a lot more. Thanks for being with us.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Yes, we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, bye.